We want to focus upon cultivating and nurturing the love of the fellowship of the body, or the love of the body of Jesus Christ. That is, the people, as we gather together and as we continue to pray for one another, to focus upon that this evening. And so, for that reason, we turn to Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, a passage that focuses upon the love of the brethren. And so tonight we want to do that. As we look through the book of Hebrews, if we were to take a look through the book of Hebrews, which is an exciting study, you would see that the author is saying time and again that Jesus is the greatest. We have a term in logic called the a fortioric argument, and that's precisely what we see in the book of Hebrews, arguing from the lesser to the greater. And the author of Hebrews says, if this is true, how much more true is this? And he now changes, in a sense, from the theological perspective that he's providing, now to something that's a little bit more practical in terms of that which is experience-oriented, that which is the practical outworking of the theology that he's just mentioned. And if Jesus is really the greatest, then the body of Jesus is the greatest, and it ought to reflect that character. And that's precisely what he is saying in this particular passage. Let's bow for a word of prayer before we take a look at God's word tonight. Lord, thank you again for the opportunity that's ours to come to your word, and we do so with fresh, open minds. We pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts, that we'd be receptive to what you would want to say to us tonight, that it would change not only how we think, but how we behave. Lord, we pray that as we read this passage tonight, as we focus upon it, many of us would be able to say, I'm practicing that in my day-to-day Christian experience. And for those of us who perhaps need a little bit of a nudge, we pray, Lord, that we would have that tonight, that we would be able to see how we might be able to practically live out the Christian life in terms of sharing with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, it's only when we have a concern for one another that we'll be able to reach the world for Christ, that they'll be able to look upon us and say, yes, they have the marks, even as Jesus said, that they will know you are Christians by your love. And so, Lord, we pray that our love would be visible to all and that it would draw all to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's take a look once again. The passage is very short, and so we'll take just a moment to read it. Let love of the brethren continue. Verse 1, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. We have a real fascination in our particular society with angels. I don't know whether you've noticed that or not. Everything from Field of Dreams to television shows to pictures and so on. It's a tremendous fascination. Cindy brought home a book about angels not too long ago that was very popular for kids. There is a fascination with angels. And so the author of Hebrews says, showing hospitality, you've entertained sometimes angels without knowing it. And of course, he's probably alluding to such individuals as Lot, the historical person of Lot, who entertained angels when they visited his city. And then verse 3, remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body. And so tonight, as we look at this passage, we want to look at three different things. You can see them there on the outline. The first is this, the continuing nature of the brotherly love that we are to have. And brotherly love in the family of God, in the body of Christ, is not an option, it's a necessity. It's not something that we can say, yes, we'll practice today and then we'll put it off for a few months. It's not a brief or a momentary experience or performance, but rather it's something that must be practiced on a day-to-day basis. And probably one of the greatest ministries that a family can have, and I've seen this in different congregations that I've been involved with, is the ministry of encouragement and love to fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. When there are difficult circumstances where encouragement and love and support is needed, then they provide it. And many of you who have testimonies, Ruth mentioned tonight her testimony about how the love of this family has been such a strong encouragement and support. And I can say that over the course of the years that I've been on the face of this earth, I have experienced that same love and encouragement wherever I have been, and noticed that that the love of Christ has been expressed through people in the body of Christ. But I want to think for a moment of a human analogy. And I have spent, as I've mentioned before, a number of days in hospital for a number or a variety of reasons. But one in particular comes to my mind when I think about the love of family. And that was the event that transpired when I was just 12 years old in Chibougamau, Quebec, and the loss of my eye, and spending 5 days in the hospital where no one could speak any English except a nurse who could speak a little bit of broken English. And, of course, my eyes were both covered, so I couldn't see. I didn't have visibility. Neither did I have the ability to comprehend what was going on about me. And so during that time in particular, I can testify to the fact that family was very significant in terms of providing encouragement and support, demonstrating love. And what I want to suggest to you is that we can take that human analogy and spiritualize it in some sense. And when we're going through difficult times, when we have lost, in a sense, our visibility or lost our focus, other Christians, family members, can enable us to have a focus, can enable us to see what's actually transpiring around us, provide a focus that we need. When we are in difficult times, when we find another person who loves Jesus Christ, it's as if they can speak the same language that we speak. And the encouragement and the support that is provided through that is beyond compare when you're going through difficult circumstances or difficult times. Brotherly love, says the author of Hebrews, is not an option. It's a vital support system in the body. And as part of the family of God, and I think of that chorus, which, to be honest, really irritates me, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, just because it was sung so many times over and over and over again, and it became such a common thing, but it's a wonderful truth. I am so glad that I'm a part of the family of God. And there is something unique and wonderful, even as our testimonies have expressed tonight, particularly when we're going through difficult times, to find that support and that encouragement. In California, there are huge trees, giant trees, known as sequoias. And sequoias are rather unique trees because they're very top-heavy. And their roots are very shallow in the ground. Now, some of you who come from a farming background, an agricultural background, will be saying, well, how is that possible? You can't have shallow roots and be top-heavy and still last. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Well, what happens with the sequoia tree is that it depends on other sequoia trees. And so it develops, it grows in groves. And so it actually... You will look around and you will see a number of sequoia trees actually growing together. And what takes place is that beneath the earth's surface, the roots of the sequoia trees are actually intertwining with one another. And so when the strong winds of adversity begin to blow, the giant sequoia trees are able to depend upon and to draw strength from one another. And for that reason, they aren't knocked over when the wind comes and when the adversity comes. And of course, we can look at that and see the demonstration, or the analogy really, of how that takes place in the Christian life as well. When the strong winds of adversity begin to blow, we can depend upon others, the roots that they have, that uphold us, that continue to provide support and encouragement. And so the author of Hebrews says, let the love of the brethren continue, because when the winds of adversity begin to blow, that's the time when it is most needed, the encouragement and the stability and the support. Remember as well the context of Hebrews. This is the early church, which is just beginning a period of tremendous persecution. And so that particular verse and that particular demonstration of encouragement and support would have been absolutely essential in encouraging those to continue on in faith in Christ. And then secondly, we've got to move along. The generous nature of brotherly love. The generous nature. Take a look at that verse in verse 2, or that those words in verse 2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Love, or true love, is not content with mere words. It demonstrates itself in the practical outworking of compassionate deeds, and that's precisely what the author of Hebrews is saying here. When someone says that they love you and yet they demonstrate anything but love, it seems rather inconsistent, doesn't it? And it seems rather difficult to swallow the words that they have spoken, because love which is merely vocal is mostly meaningless. And so the author of Hebrews says we need to be practically demonstrating the love that draws us together. And perhaps more so at the time of the writing of the book of Hebrews than now, this practical expression of love to strangers would have been more significant, because in the first century AD, hospices and inns and so on were notorious as being little more than brothels. They were immoral. They were very non-hygienic. And on top of that, they were very expensive. And so in those particular days, if you were going to do traveling, you would like to know that there is family in that city to which you're about to travel. And the Christian family, if they knew that there was a group of fellowshipping believers in another city, would have tremendous encouragement knowing that they could call upon those individuals who were one with them in Christ when there was that need. Aunt Martha perhaps was sick in Laodicea, so they needed to travel and see her. They knew that they could rely upon the hospitality of other fellow Christians and not be forced to stay in these terrible hospices and these places of ill repute, if you will. Love expresses itself through generosity, and the dictionary defines such generosity as being that which is unselfish, noble, and most honorable. And so that's the type of attitude that we're to have. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Perhaps the most practical expression of this that I can draw upon is that which took place in yet another hospital stay. Actually, it wasn't a hospital stay, but when I was involved with a study involving diabetes at the University Hospital in London, and I would have to go down every month and stay for blood work and do a number of different tests. And on one occasion, there was a snowstorm, and on that particular morning, I had headed down, and the doctors were talking to me, and I can remember them talking about what would I do. I had to go back to the Bible College at that time in Toronto. What would I do if there was difficulties in traveling the roads? And I said, well, I have to go back to the Bible College. And one of the doctors perked right up, and he said, are you a believer? And I said, yes, I am. And he said, well, I'm a Christian as well, and I'm involved with such and such a fellowship, and I want you to know that if you're ever in need, he said, you're welcome to stay with me and with my wife anytime. And that very practical expression of what Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2 said. He was a fellow who was raised in New York. He was from a different ethnic background than me. He was from a different culture than I was. He was from a different Christian denomination than I was. And yet there was something which drew us together. The love of Christ caused him to reach out and to say, I will show hospitality to you. If you need a place to stay, you're welcome to stay with us. And of course, Jesus tells us that whatever we've done or whatever we do the least of our brethren, we do it to him. And I brought a poem with me tonight. And you know, I hate pastors reading poems, so I'm not going to take the time to do it tonight. The poem that I love very much, and probably most of you are familiar with it, the poem Unawares, talking about the Master coming and how one person after another is turned away. The individual who has sorrows and needs comfort, and now she's turned away. The young child who has obviously been crying needs comfort and is turned away, and so on. And finally, as you come to the end, the Lord, of course, says, yes, I have visited you today in the person or in the people of, and you've turned me away. We need to demonstrate the brotherly love that Christ has called us to by practically expressing it to one another. This past summer, and we need to constantly check ourselves. This past summer at camp, a little girl by the name of Melissa was left at the first week of camp. She was in a foster home, and even her foster mom had not bothered to come and pick her up. Hour passed after hour. We continued to keep her with our family and wondered when her particular family would come. Finally, had to phone Family and Children's Services, and they had to try and track down her foster parents and weren't able to do so for a number of days, so she continued to stay on with us. But I couldn't help but think, with that particular little girl, how we can demonstrate the love of Christ in a very practical way. We had talked with her over the course of that week about what it meant to be a Christian, and yet the opportunity to demonstrate what it was to be a Christian presented itself, and we could have risen to the challenge, or we could have, by the same token, said, well, you come and pick her up and take her. We were glad that we had the opportunity to express the love of Christ to that little one. And then finally, we move along. Not only are we going to focus upon the continuing nature of brotherly love, but it's not a 100-meter dash, and it's not a race to see who can get cards of sympathy or expressions of love or a meal or what have you to somebody who's in need. It's something that continues on. It's not the 100-meter dash concept. It's something that goes far beyond that. Then there's the generous nature of brotherly love, actually meeting the needs of one another and sharing with one another. And then finally, we want to take a look at what I've called here the practical nature of brotherly love. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated since you also are in the body. 31 years ago, on December 10th of 1964, Reverend Martin Luther King was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for his work in civil rights. And it was without doubt verses such as this particular verse that caused men like him and others to take a stand and to demonstrate the love of Christ in a very real, in a very practical sense. Can't help but think of Wilberforce and the Clapham sect, men who had devoted themselves to overcoming the slavery that was so rampant and such a terrible blight upon the reputation, upon the character of the British Empire. And so these men of wealth and men of influence and prestige, because of their love for Jesus Christ, remembered those who were in prison as though they themselves were in prison. And they continued to suffer as long as those who were experiencing slavery were suffering. They had committed themselves to overcoming, to demonstrating in a very practical sense through social action the love of Christ. One of the pet peeves that I have is Christians who don't demonstrate social action. And I realize that over the course of the last 50 or 60 years, there has been a reaction by evangelicals to distance themselves from more liberal churches. But I can't help but think to myself, how can we possibly proclaim to have the love of God when we don't demonstrate it in the world around us? And so we need to reawaken ourselves. We need to rediscover the social action that God has called us to. Love's responsibility must have a practical application in day-to-day living. And that's precisely what the author is seeking to vocalize here. Once again, love which is merely vocal is mostly meaningless. Love which is merely vocal is mostly meaningless. And love does have a practical expression. It's not confined simply to those who are in prison or those who are ill-treated. Perhaps it's a ministry that you can effect to those who are elderly or those who are shut in. Those who don't have the opportunity to get out, you can encourage them through visits and through cards and so on. A ministry, perhaps, to those who are divorced and widowed, providing for them some of the most practical things, doing some of the work that needs to be done that can't be done on their own. One of the ministries that was affected that really affected me tremendously was the ministry of a lady in Kitchener, quiet, reserved lady who came in late every Sunday left early every Sunday morning with her two daughters. They weren't antisocial, they just weren't very much socialites. And so they were very quiet. And the only way that I could shake their hands and say that we were glad to have them with us was for me to race down the aisle and catch them before they headed out the door. And I did that on occasion. But I found out after the ministry that this one particular elderly lady had been affecting over the course of the previous 20 or so years. She owned a card shop in Kitchener. Still does. Her daughters run it for her now. And she would send cards to various people, the elderly and those who were shut in because of perhaps physical infirmity that didn't allow them to get out. And a variety of different cards went out. And I perhaps have mentioned this before. On one particular occasion, she sent out a card that said, past hurts need to be healed. Or past differences, sorry. Past differences need to be healed. And she sent it to this 95-year-old lady. Perhaps she didn't even know why she had done it. I'm not sure. She didn't know the lady that well. But God had somehow prompted her to send that. And this particular lady was the mother of a very good close friend of ours. In fact, Hannah is named after her. And her mom recognized immediately that when this letter had come, that it had come from God and not so much from an individual. Certainly it was a ministry that she had effected, but it was a very clear message that had come from the Lord, that the past differences that she had held with her brother for almost 50 years that had caused them not to speak at all, and they were living in the same nursing home just outside of Kitchener, just down the hall from one another. They had continued to make sure that they avoided one another and didn't speak at all for between 45 and 50 years. She recognized that the past differences that they had held needed to be corrected. And that's precisely what happened, and she died just 3 months after making amends with her brother. There is a ministry that God will allow you to have if you ask in sincerity that God would reveal something to you. Perhaps you're already involved in ministry. Ann talked about the ministry that was affected to some immigrants, and there are many opportunities such as that. There are all kinds of opportunities if we're open and willing. And God will allow us to express the love of Christ in a very practical and a very tangible way. And perhaps this evening you've felt a challenge to do precisely that. And I would encourage you to seek the Lord. Ask Him how you might be able to demonstrate the continuing nature of brotherly love. Ask God how you might be able to demonstrate the generous nature of brotherly love. Perhaps it's being involved in some form of visitation program. But ask God. Perhaps there's a practical ministry that you can effect right here in your own particular circumstances, in your own, perhaps in your own neighborhood or in your own church community, and God will allow you to be used of Him. I would encourage you tonight to recognize that the love of the brethren needs to continue, that it needs to be generous, and it needs to be responsible. Let's